1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And looking at verses 17 through 19. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, the Bible says, "Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and quench not the Spirit." Father, we do thank you for the evening that you have given us, Lord, another opportunity to sit at the feet of Christ, Lord, to allow you to speak to our hearts and teach us the things that we need to learn, reminding us of the things we need to remember, helping us to apply the truths of your word to our life. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight, guiding us according to your will. But Father, we just don't take it lightly, Lord. We come before you with humble hearts, Lord, wanting you to truly speak to our hearts and help us to know what it is in our own personal lives, Lord, that may be hindering us from drawing closer to you or things that you want us to do, Father. We truly do have a desire to live our life for you to be glorified, for Christ to be lifted up, and for others to be helped. Father, we ask that you would bless our time as always, Lord. We ask that you would have your way with us, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And these verses tonight, these verses really speak about having a right heart before God and having a prepared heart that's yielded to God and what God wants to do in our own personal life. We know that God wants us to help others. He wants us to have a right heart with others. That's why we're told in Psalm 119, verse 165, that we're not to let things offend us. We are to have peace with God and not to allow what others may say or do to offend us. Because truly, if we allow others to get under our skin who really not even directly trying to get under our skin. You know what it's like to be, especially if you watch the news, to allow yourself to become agitated with how somebody else is living and how that really just causes you problems. The Lord really wants us to have hearts that are prepared for Him to do His will in our life. He doesn't want our hearts to be tainted. When the Bible says, you know, with the life of Job in respect, or not Job, the life of Lot. The Bible says of Lot in Hebrews that his righteous soul was vexed by seeing and by hearing. In Psalm 119 and verse 165, the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing shall bother them, nothing shall cause them to move from the straight and narrow path. Nothing will cause them to act in a way that's not Christ-like. And when you look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19, it truly speaks about having a prepared heart before God, letting God work in your life, letting God use you according to His will. And we do that by what it says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now, at the end of this letter that Paul writes to the believers at Thessalonica, these are really kind of like mini sermons that he's teaching them or giving them as he ends his letter to them. And they are truths that we can hold on to and truths we can apply to our life. But truly, continuing to have a prepared heart as we continue our journey with Christ so that the Lord can continue to work in us and through us, transforming us more into the image of Christ and truly bringing more blessings in our life. Now, when you look at verse 17, it's very easy. Pray without ceasing. So prayer is to be something that is near and dear to our heart, something that we hold on to, something that we cherish, something that we even protect, because it is our time that we communicate with the Lord. It's our time we pour out our heart to the Lord. It's our time to listen to the Lord as He speaks to our heart. It's a time when we get guidance and wisdom, whatever it may need. And we try to do it evening, morning, at noon, throughout the day, as the psalmist talks about. But pray without ceasing speaks of having a prayerful heart, a heart that is prepared by prayer. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 as we think about just having a constant prayer life, because prayer is what holds us near and dear to the Lord. Not that God loses us, but it is what helps us to stay in close proximity to the Lord, for our hearts to stay in tune with the Lord, for even our thoughts to be upon the Lord. To have a prepared heart before God is to have a heart that is full in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 4, you look at verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." It was the one thing that the Lord tried to get Peter to really hold on to when they were there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord kept coming to them and saying, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And the temptation at different times is really to kind of relax in our Christian walk with the Lord, to relax in listening to the Lord and adhering to the Lord as He speaks to our hearts and as He tries to guide our steps. We'll get to it, but verse 19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." Again, we want to stay sensitive to the voice of God, sensitive to the leading of God's will in our life and what God has for us each day. And it really starts with prayer. Holding on to prayer. A lot of people have done away with prayer. There's a lot of Christians who don't even pray anymore. They don't view it as something that's important. And sometimes it's because of relationships they have in this world that they kind of compare with their relationship with the Lord. Well, if they're not listening to me, maybe God's not listening to me. And that's just not the case. God always hears the prayers of His children. But prayer really is what shapes us. If we view our relationship with the Lord as valuable, as something that's needed, prayer will be something that we guard and we protect. It'll be something that we hold on to that's near and dear to our heart. It is something that will help us to stay on the straight and narrow path, because we know that when we spend time with the Lord hears us, and it helps us to continue to be thankful in the life that the Lord has given us. In Colossians 4, verse 2, it tells us, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Being thankful in our prayers helps us to stay close to the Lord. When is it that we should stop praying? At what moment should we stop praying? At the moment that we're going to take our last breath on this side of heaven? The answer is no. Because we see in the life of Stephen, as he was at the end of his life, not because of any wrong he had done, but because he was being done wrong by being stoned to death by those that hated him and hated his Lord Jesus Christ. Yet at the end of his life, he breathes one last prayer, and the prayer was for forgiveness for those that were stoning him. As he says, "Father, forgive them. Lay not this charge to their sin. Lay not this sin to their charge." Prayer kept Stephen having the right mindset and the right heart. Because again, situations arise in life and can cause our hearts to either become afraid, to become angry, to become discontent with life. Again, Lot, it says of Lot, his righteous soul was vexed by what he saw, by what he was constantly looking at and constantly hearing. And God wants our hearts to be affected with our prayer, with the time we have with our Lord and Savior. In James chapter 5, it tells us, "Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Again, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does it avail? What does it show? It shows our relationship with the Lord. Because the more time you spend with your Savior in prayer, truly the more you become like Him. Because it's not enough just to know what the Bible says. It has to be applied to our life. We have to sit in constant communion with our Lord and Savior. You know, spending 30 plus years with my wife, we'll be married 30 years come this January, but we were together 4 years prior to that as a couple. And you know what? I can almost tell you what she's thinking at any given time. We can look at each other at different times and just, we know what the other one is saying just by the look we give them. And she's shaking her head. And there's some times where she gives me a look that lets me know, you're in trouble, man. But many times, though, I mean, something will happen and we'll look at each other and we just know. We can look at each other across a room because we've been together for so long. I know her likes or dislikes. I know how she thinks. It's the same as we spend more and more time with Christ in prayer. We know how he thinks. We know his heart. We know what he hates. We know what he likes. The Bible tells us that. But the more time we spend with him, like Moses did on Mount Sinai, and he came down, and the people were afraid of his countenance because his countenance shone so bright they had to put a veil over him just so the people wouldn't be afraid. Because you know what? You can tell who spends time with God and who doesn't by their actions, by their attitude, by their countenance, the things they talk about. Being in that constant state of prayer helps us to continue to have prepared hearts that the Lord can speak to and guide and cultivate. Look at Romans chapter 12, if you would. Because as we have our constant prayer life, it needs to continue. It needs to continue to have that continual prayer life. Constant, again, he says, pray without ceasing. There should never be a time in our life where we don't pray. And believe me, we are tempted at several times not to pray. But we are to continually pray because we know it is what we need. It is what helps us. In verse number 12 of Romans 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Again, I know I've said this before. Others have joked about it. You know, I can't always be praying because I'm driving. I can't close my eyes. You know, we get into the habit of a certain posture of prayer, and we think, well, I can't pray because I'm driving. But we can. I mean, most people are talking on their phones while they're driving, or they're reading a newspaper. You ever seen someone reading a newspaper driving down the interstate? I have, and I have gotten past them as quick as I can because I know they're not paying attention. But I've also been behind a pastor. The reason why I knew it was a pastor because I was in the bus that was following the pastor, and that pastor was, we were headed to a preacher's meeting, to a men's meeting, and he was going to be one of the speakers there. Could always tell when he was praying because he'd be driving the speed limit, and then all of a sudden, instead of speeding up, he'd slow way down. And other people on the bus were like, what is Pastor doing? And me and another person knew, and we said, he's praying. Just give him a second, he'll speed up. And sure enough, he'd speed up again. Because both him and myself and this other person had driven with him enough to know what his prayer life was like. And he was a man of prayer. He was continually praying constantly for God's will. To have a prepared heart and to keep that prepared heart is truly to have a prayerful heart that's constantly, continually seeking God, not just on a day-to-day basis, but throughout each day. And as we continue to do that, we'll notice in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that a prayerful heart will help us to have a thankful heart. Because verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somebody might ask, you know, what is God's will for my life? I don't know what God's will is. To be thankful for right where you're at. Because we might not be thankful for where we're at in life. But if we are thankful and we find ourselves learning to be thankful, it's because we've learned to pray and ask the Lord, give me grace where I'm at in my life. Help me to bloom where I'm at. Where you've planted me, help me to bloom. Help me to glorify you. Because, you know, life is truly about God. It's not about us. And I'm still having to learn that. Because I still find myself at different times complaining about things, wanting things to be different in the ministry, wanting God to do things. And the Lord has to remind me, and he does remind me even recently that, listen, you realize that sometimes our prayers don't even get answered because we're too focused on ourselves. and what we want instead of God. I want you to be glorified. Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. Now, yes, Jesus said, ask and you'll receive, knock, it'll be open. But the attitude, the mindset still has to be, it's about God, it's not about me. And for a person, sometimes that's kind of hard to balance because, well, he said ask and I'm asking, but why am I asking? Why do I want God to answer my prayer? Why should I be thankful? Because God is good, and where I'm at in life and what he's allowing, it's because he wants to be glorified in that. Again, when you look in Scripture, everywhere that God's people ended up, he wanted to be glorified, even in the wilderness. They didn't want to go in the promised land. They were afraid of the giants instead of, you know, trusting the Lord. But even in the wilderness, he wanted them to glorify him. And yet they would complain and want, you know, we're tired of what you're giving us. We're tired of this manna. We want something different. That's just human nature. That's the sinful nature we have. We get tired of what we have and we want something different because we think, well, if I have something different, I'll be happy. To our eyes, it seems like the grass is always greener on the other side. You ever driven by a dairy farm and seen the cows with their necks stretched out the barbed wire fence, eating the grass in the ditch instead of the alfalfa the farmer has provided? Why is that? Because it is. We think things are better on the other side. But how many of us realize that when we've gone to the other side and we've looked back, we've realized, wait, it was better over there. This isn't exactly what I thought it would be. Again, God wants us to have thankful hearts, and the only way to have thankful hearts is to have the focus on him. In Psalm 97 and verse 12, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. To have a thankful heart for our Savior. And again, I believe that comes through having a heart that is constant, continually in prayer. Because we find ourselves being thankful and being reminded even by the Holy Spirit how good we really do have it. Having a thankful heart for our Lord and Savior. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Again, if I can't find anything in my life at the moment to be thankful for, I should be able to look up, see my Savior by faith, and be like, well, I know I can be thankful for him. And once I find myself being thankful of him, I do find other things to be thankful about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are things it's not that you don't know. You know these verses tonight. You know what 1 Thessalonians tells us. But again, sometimes, if we allow it, it can become difficult to be thankful in everything. Paul was even thankful in the thorn in the flesh he had. Now, he prayed for God to remove it, right? He was a man of prayer. He knew, he didn't just know that God could. He knew God, he could. He could take away the thorn. He could make everything new. He could give him the strength he needed. But he allowed himself, and listen, we're going to get to the verse in a minute, but you understand your flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. As the flesh cries out and the flesh wants justice, yet the Spirit of God in us says, give him all the glory. And Paul said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon my life. He said, you know what? I'd rather God be glorified in my life than me have what I want. And that's not something, that's not a mindset we're born with. Because when a newborn baby is in this world, they're not thinking about mama's best interest. Mama needs some rest. Mama had a rough time, you know, during childbirth. And no, what does the baby want? What they want. And they will cry until they get what they want. So no one had to teach us to not be thankful and to be selfish and want what we want and cry out for what we want. We learn by the Spirit of God to not only pray for God's will, but to be thankful and to, you know what, I want God to be glorified in this. Because you know what, I know that God will help me. Don't you know that? You know God will help you. Because He already helped us. But why is it we find ourselves at different times wondering, will God help me? Will God do this? Again, He will. Everything that God brings into our life, it is to be used to bring Him glory. Again, when you look at the life of Job, it was all about God. It wasn't about Job. Job was in that situation. God allowed Job to be in the situation, but it was never about Job. It was always about God. God being glorified. And us learning that, you know what, even the devil has to answer to God. The devil just doesn't do whatever he wants. God says you can do this, but you can't do that. And even the very one who lifted himself in pride and said, I will be like the Most High, got himself kicked out of heaven, still answers to God and still obeys what God says. Now, he wants us to think otherwise. But again, to have that thankful heart is to remember who our Savior is and to remember, just as John the Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease. And I believe having that constant, continual prayer life where we are constantly focused on the Lord will help us to have that thankful heart that is focused on the holiness and the victory that Christ gives us. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. If you look at verse 50, actually, let's see. Back up to verse 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. You know, to have a thankful heart for our Lord and Savior is also to have a thankful heart for those God-given opportunities. What's a God-given opportunity? It's an opportunity where God can show himself great and mighty. Jesus said, you know, as we read in 2 Samuel chapter 22 about the enemies, Jesus said, you know, give your enemy drink, give him food, you know, be Christ-like to those that are your enemies. Let the Lord be the one that avenges. Let the Lord be the one that fights our battles. You know, David never fought his own battles. He fought the Lord's battles. But those that were against him, he never fought against. He wouldn't even allow his own men to take the life of Saul when God allowed Saul to come into the proximity of where David was. And Saul didn't even know David was in the cave. David comes and cuts off a piece of his garment, a piece of his robe. Saul goes out not knowing what was done. But David was smitten in his heart that he even did that. Yet he came out, he allowed himself to be known to Saul, and Saul realized that God kept him alive. What I'm saying is that God gave David opportunities to either glorify him or glorify himself. I mean, wouldn't David have been in some way, humanly speaking, wouldn't he have been justified by taking Saul's life? I mean, after all, Saul's trying to kill him. He's just defending himself. But he never would. I mean, not once, not twice, but several times God gave him an opportunity to take matters into his own hands, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't even allow his men. He could have, you know, said, go ahead, at least it's not me doing it. Now, he did do that later on where he had somebody else kill somebody, and God blamed David for it because David was the one that commanded the murder. But early on, though, we see that David, it's all about God. God's the one that anointed me. He's the one that knew what was going to happen. I'm going to glorify him by not laying my hands on my enemy. I'm going to let God take care of it. There's different opportunities that God brings into our life for us to either glorify God or glorify ourselves. Sometimes it's in what we say. People are really good at lashing out with their tongues. Well, they said it first, I'm just defending myself. Again, did Jesus defend himself against his persecutors? No. He could have. And the judge of all the earth, he would have been right in condemning those that were crucifying, but he didn't do it. Now, see, he was dying for a reason. He was dying for their sins as well as ours. What I'm saying is that there are God-given opportunities that he brings into our life that he wants us, because we've been praying, we've been valuing our relationship with the Lord, we have allowed our hearts to be prepared for whatever God brings in our life, that we recognize the opportunity as, you know what, God is giving this opportunity for me to glorify him instead of myself. And without walking with the Lord, that's hard to do. It's hard to surrender your will for his will if we're not walking with God, if we're not in a close relationship with the Lord. It will do us no good if I walk with him on Sunday, but not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It does no good. What good does it do me to talk to my wife on Monday, but not another word until the next Monday? My relationship's not going to be very well. In fact, come the next Monday, she might ignore me. Have you ever been ignored by the Lord? I have. I don't like it. Because you can feel there's something missing. You can feel there's something not right. And it's never because of him. It's always because of us choosing not to let him be glorified in our life and spending that precious time. But again, let's always try to view every opportunity, good or bad, that comes in our life as, you know what, this is a God-given opportunity that God wants me to glorify him in it. And if I can't see how to glorify him in it, then let's let our first thought be to go to him in prayer, to seek him in prayer, to seek how, God, I can glorify you in this situation. How can I bring honor and glory to you? How can I truly live out Revelation 4:11? Look at Revelation 4:11. This is what you and I were created to do, and that is to bring honor and glory to our Lord. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I are created beings that God created to glorify him, to sing his praises, but obviously no one can properly do that without the Spirit of God in them. And you and I have the Spirit of God in us who will always lead us to glorify our Lord and Savior. Now you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and as Paul, again, writes to believers at Thessalonica, encouraging them to pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks to God, because it is God's will that we be thankful in every state of our life and every day. Again, if we look through human eyes, we won't be thankful where we're at, what's going on. But if we look through spiritual eyes, we see an opportunity for God to be glorified in, and we can truly give thanks to the one who deserves all thanks. But in verse 19, he says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. We understand that quench the Spirit is for God to stop speaking, for God to stop moving in our life, for God to stop even guiding us because there's some sin in our life. There's something that is preventing us from walking with the Lord that must be right. And it's a sensitive heart. Again, hearing and seeing his righteous soul was vexed. What caused Lot to truly stop following Abraham's God? What caused Lot to stop hearing clear direction? Again, in Hebrews chapter 11, God calls Lot a righteous man. So you have to assume that Lot had a relationship with God, but obviously it went south. It went sour. Because when given the opportunity to choose between the barren desert or the well-watered plains of Jordan, instead of seeking God, he just looked through his own eyes and said, why wouldn't I choose this? I mean, well-watered plains, I've got all this cattle, I've got all these people to take care of. Uncle Abraham has given me the choice to choose first, and he chooses the well-watered plains. But, unfortunately, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, day in and day out. And finally, at some point, he moves into the city of Sodom. He moves into wickedness, loses all his belongings, all his cattle, everything he had. He even loses his children, loses his wife, because he didn't stay sensitive to God. Abraham stayed sensitive to God, and so much so that when God was going to destroy Sodom, God says of Abraham, "Shall I hide this thing from Abraham?" And God ends up letting Abraham know what he's going to do. Now, did God have to let Abraham know? No. But I believe that Abraham had such a relationship with God that God says, "You know what? I can't hide this from him because he has family down there." And God knew Abraham's heart. Abraham was a praying man. The Bible doesn't record it prior to his conversation with God, but I bet Abraham was praying for Lot. Because then when God tells Abraham what's going to happen, Abraham says, "Will you destroy it if there's 50 righteous?" Abraham was sensitive to what God was saying, so much so that he kept dwindling the number down, all the way down to 10. Saying is, if we keep our hearts full of prayer, if we will remain prayerful and remain thankful for what God's doing in our life, we'll stay sensitive. We'll stay sensitive to what God says and how God moves in our life. When prayer is not a necessity, when we don't value prayer, then we're not thankful for what God allows. And we think, you know what, I deserve that. My life would be better if I had that. And then because we're discontent with where we're at and we're not just letting God work in our life where we're at, we become desensitized. You know why it's important that God's people don't allow themselves to watch TV shows and movies that are godless? Because it desensitizes their spirit. And to listen to ungodly music, it desensitizes their spirit. And God wants us to remain sensitive to His moving in our life. You know why so many Christians devalue church and the Bible? Because they've been desensitized by the things they've allowed into their life. People give more value to recreation happiness than the happiness that God brings. Now, yeah, we can always find someone and go, "Well, at least I'm not like them." That's what the Pharisees said, right? Thanking God how good he was, and "Lord, I thank you, I'm not like this sinner." We can always find somebody that might be a little lower than we are, and I'm doing pretty good. But we're supposed to be comparing ourselves to Christ. And every time I do compare myself to Christ, I think, "Oh me, I am nowhere near where I should be." In fact, I think I've fallen like 1,000 steps backwards or something. When you look at Christ, you realize, you know what? I'm not where I should be, and that's where I want to be, is where he's at. Staying sensitive to the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit of God has us sealed? And not just sealed until the day of redemption. We're sealed by the Spirit of God, can never lose our salvation. But the fact we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, that's a wonderful thing. I mean, who is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, who am I, Lord, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to dwell in this vessel? Right, because Paul said it this way, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Aren't you glad you have the Spirit of God? It's almost, and not being negative or condescending about somebody else, but sometimes you have to just remind yourself, you know what? I can't allow them not living for God cause me not to live for God. I mean, we have spouses that don't, we have children that don't, we have family members that don't, that claim to be Christians. I mean, if you find yourself agitated with just people, then the focus is wrong. Because again, our focus is to be on Christ. People will always disappoint us. People will always get under our skin. Those that claim to be Christian, not living the Christian life, the devil wants to use that to cause us not to be thankful for what God's doing in our life, to cause us to become bitter, to cause us not to be sensitive to the Spirit moving in our life, because God does. He cares about every single one of us, and he wants us to care about our relationship with him, staying sensitive to the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 4, he says, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. I mean, even another part of Scripture, he says, you know, as he's talking to believers, he tells them, know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And I know that you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But when is it that God's never with us? When is it that God's never with us? Because some people have the mindset that God is only in the church. Or God's only there when I open the Bible. He's only there when I'm praying. No, he's there 24/7. 360, he sees what you're watching. He sees what you're listening to. He knows our thoughts. He wants us to remain sensitive to him. Sensitive that, you know what? The moment that we even have a wrong thought, we're convicted about it. And we're asking God, Lord, please don't take your Spirit away from me, as David did. Now, he won't, but just having that mindset, Lord, please don't stop talking to me. You know what? I was wrong in thinking that. I was wrong in entertaining that thought. Lord, I don't want your Spirit to be quenched. It's having a sensitivity, knowing that, you know what? Even something that may not be sin in and of itself is something that can cause our sensitivity to his Spirit to be quenched. Quench not the Spirit. He says in Ephesians 1, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Let's never, ever have a I don't care attitude. We should care whether we can hear the voice of God, whether we can sense the Spirit. Again, the Spirit was given to us, Jesus says, as the comforter, as the teacher, as the guide. And he is the one that always points us back to Jesus. When our focus gets off, he's the one that always says, hey, look up. Look unto your Savior who's never failed you. Look unto your Savior who's never left you alone. In Galatians 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Again, no Christian can ride the fence. They can't have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. They can't walk with the Lord and eat at the table of devils. We have to choose a side. Do I really want the blessings of God in my life? Do I really want to have a walk with him that impacts my life? Again, I would love for someone to come up to me and say, what must I do to be saved? Because they see a difference in my life. Now, whether or not that ever happens, I still want God to work in my life. I still want my relationship. I'm saying, not just me, I'm saying, like, as all believers, I still want the world to see a life that's been changed, but I also never want to walk astray. I never want to be led astray. Again, if God allows something in my life, good or bad, it's an opportunity for me to give Him the glory, for me to worship Him, for me to bring glory to His name, and especially in the valleys that He will lead us through. Again, when Jesus spoke in Matthew 3, He said, I indeed baptize, or John the Baptist said this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And with fire. You know what? To be baptized with fire, it's not some of the weird stuff that you've known or heard about over the years. But think about the disciples in that upper room. They were waiting. They were waiting for the promise. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise. And on the day that they were praying and fasting, the place was shaken. A rush of mighty wind came in. And there was a flaming tongue set on each of them to signify the Holy Spirit had come. And as the Holy Spirit came, they all started speaking in known languages. The wonderful works of God. And remember what Jesus said, that when the Holy Spirit came, they would have boldness in their life. Not just to speak the gospel, not just to tell others about Christ, but to live a life that's contrary to the world. To live a life that's looked down upon, that's ridiculed, that's mocked, that's made fun of. Unfortunately, even made fun of, even by some of God's own people that claim to be Christians and make fun of the Christian life. But listen, there is power in the Christian life because the power that's in the Christian life is God, the Holy Spirit of God that resides within all of us. Doesn't matter if somebody else you know refuses to do right, refuses to live for the Lord. What matters is if we individually choose to keep living for the Lord, to keep following the Lord, knowing that, you know what? Without God, I have no hope. Without God, I don't have a life. And He's blessed me so far, He'll continue to bless. But continuing to have a prepared heart, don't let your heart be tainted by the evilness of this world. Don't allow your heart to be affected by the things of this world. Our hearts need to stay sensitive, and it will only stay sensitive if we remain consistent in prayer, consistent in the Word of God, and allowing God to work in our life and us respond to the leading of God in our life.